fucktonesponsors.com anime podcast. As always, the podcast is brought to you by the Fuckton of Sponsors, but today it is brought to you by $6 shirts. Crazy shirts for crazy cheap. Get any shirt for $6, or get 10 shirts for only $50. Click the link at the bottom of the page and get yourself some awesome shirts. And while our shirts are not as awesome, we do still have them. So go to jestorpros.com/store, get some shirts. We got hoodies, we got sleeves, and we are still looking for shirt designs. So please send your designs to bovi1@jestorpros.com or post them in the forums, in the topic for the thing. It's in the lobby. And if we like them, we'll make them into a shirt, and we will give you a cut of the profits that are made from that shirt. Or if you don't feel like buying anything from us, just feel like giving us money, go to deathstoreprods.com/Indiegogo. That is IndieGogo. And donate some money to that. It'll all go towards giving us better equipment so we can make more content and better content for you guys. And hopefully put our YouTube channel to good use now. Because now we're just going to be using that for our Let's Plays and Let's Ridicules and what have you. Because we can do that now. We were originally hosting them all on our site, but then the file, like a maximum file upload size can only be a gig, and on YouTube now, since I created a new account and shit, it is unlimited. Well, 20 gigs, I think, is the maximum, but that's still pretty fucking big.
That is quite big.
That's what she said. Okay, so, or if you don't feel like donating money, just spread the word. Or donate some money to a cause that can actually help save lives. Go to deathstoreprods.com/extralife and donate some money to that. All funds raised are going toward Children's Medical Network hospitals. And it's all tax deductible for you people out there who care about that thing or know what that means. So yeah, deathstoreprods.com/extralife, that is all one word. Donate some money, join our team and help us raise money. And if you do, the top fundraiser on our team and the top donator, if they want to, will be joining us on October 20th, on Extra Life Day, for our 24-hour live stream. We'll be going for 24 hours, 8 a.m. to 8 a.m., playing video games to talk about, and anything else that will come into our heads. Because believe me, stuff will come. And then stuff will come into our heads. But Wordplay! Okay, so, yeah, as always, I'm your host, the Dead Man, and joining me today, we have Bobby Wan.
Hello.
And Punchatron.
Ahoy.
As we are testing a new recording method out again. Hopefully it'll go better this time. But in case it doesn't, we always have our call burner backup. Yeah. If you're wondering why we keep changing recording methods so much, is because, well, this one will give us better. This one will give us better podcasts. Like it'll, like if you noticed a while, if you notice if we're a podcast, we use call burner, and it usually comes up pretty choppy. Like Bowie's audio every once in a while just cut out and then come back in like a second later, and Pudge will sound like a gargled mess. And so, yeah, this
Your
way...
Your mom's a gargled mess.
Seriously, we desperately need a rimshot button. I should have one, like, right next to my thing. It's like a fire alarm, just in case of need of rimshot, break glass. And just to have, like, constantly switching out glass panels. But back on topic, yeah. So, hopefully this will be able to make better podcasts. It'll sound better. It'll be better and more coherent. Possibly. Probably not, but you never know.
Nothing can do that.
Yeah, so we're here to talk about some anime. So, Bobby, start with your series. What'd you pick? Again.
I picked Code Geass.
Okay, so give us a rundown of Code Geass.
Alright, well, we start off following Lelouch Lamperouge, who is a high school student, a seemingly average high school student, except that he's very, very intelligent.
Yes, with one of the most pretentious names I've ever heard. apparently you disagree with me.
And we see him going and basically making money by beating, I don't know, big rich people at chess.
Yeah, I think it was like lords in the Britannia Empire.
Something like that.
Yeah, so we should also state that at this point in this world, in 2010, something called the Britannia Empire invaded and conquered Japan.
Yeah, so I was going to mention that.
But it's just... That's kind of the first thing that happens. Like, I remember just booting it up. It's like in August 2010, Britannia invades Japan. Like, oh, fuck.
Well, just so you know, I didn't rewatch it, so, like, I don't remember the exact order of things.
Well, I just did some then.
Yeah. Yes, well, yeah, Britannia has invaded Japan, and they won the war basically using mechs.
It's night. I think they call them nightmare frames.
Yes, nightmare frames.
And they got roller skates.
And they get exceedingly more ridiculous as the series goes along.
Oh yeah, they start looking.
Always has to be a better one.
Yeah, it just kind of follows the Gundam method of mechs.
It's like, wow, this is the newest, best mech ever.
What?
We have a newer one.
It's like this. Like this is the most awesome mech ever. Why is it so pointy then? It's like, what does that do? It looks cool. Sure,
it looks Guren. I'm not sure if you see Guren in the first 5 episodes.
Oh yeah, that fucking
Guren's a great mech because it's pretty much designed so that Keren is leaning over just the right way.
Yeah. So
what that engineer was thinking.
I don't know, just tits. Okay, so yeah, back to plot synopsis, I guess.
So it was, yeah, he basically ends up in the middle of a war zone, and he encounters this odd green-haired chick in a bondage suit named CC.
Because, aw, yeah.
And she bestows upon him the power of Geass, which is an eye power, the power of the king. It's a unique power depending on who gets it. Lelouch's Geass is he can give any one person one command, and they must follow it.
Hmm.
Which is actually, it's a pretty useful one.
Yeah, but the whole one-time thing could be, that's a little bullshitty.
Oh, that gets undone in R2, but...
Yeah, so we watched the first 7 episodes of R1, so I don't know anything that happens after that.
So anyways, with this, he steals a mech and basically takes over command of the rebel group and causes them to have a victory. And so later, as he's trying to figure out how he can keep his double life as a high schooler and as the new leader of this rebel group, he comes up with the great alias Zero and probably the most pretentious costume ever designed.
Oh, yeah, that thing is so... He looks... I don't even know how to describe how he looks like. He looks so tiny. Like, I think he looks like I could just put my entire hand around his waist and just snap him like a toothpick.
With his newfound military under his wing and the power of the Geass, he basically... It's revealed that he's actually Lelouch the Britannia, a prince of the Britannian Empire who has been exiled, and he wants, basically, revenge against Britannia for the murder of his mother and the exile of him and his sister.
Yeah, which was, like, when they first introduced that, I wasn't sure if that was, like, real or if it was Lelouch using the Geass to just implant this idea in everyone's heads.
No, he is totally a prince of Britannia.
Yeah, he's, like, 13th in line to the throne or something.
You know, one of the important ones.
And so he is now leading a rebellion against Britannia.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess we'll... What do you guys have to say about the show?
Well...
Dead air.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. I prefer other kind of control... Like, Death Note does the whole... magic controlling the power a whole lot better than this.
Yeah, I think
to be completely honest.
Yeah, it does, because, like, with Lucius' thing, he has to have, like, direct eye contact with the person.
Yeah.
And you know what else takes that really long animation?
Yeah.
The Geass appearing in his eye, then, like, coming to life, then flying out, and then going into the person's head, and then going inside their brain and watching their, like, brains rewire, which kind of looks like it kind of looks like what Love Machine did in Summer Wars when he was, like, rearranging the traffic things.
Now, like a lot of other anime, they do that animation a lot in the first bunch of episodes, and then they cut down on it a lot. Like, Fairy Tail did the same thing. Every time Natsu did a single attack, there was a huge animation sequence, and now it's just like, whatever, I'm throwing fire at your face. It's the same for the Geass later on.
Hmm. Well, yeah, that's good. But since we only watched the first 5 episodes, we just got it ad nauseum.
bad.
But it was still kind of like the first time he uses it. Like, it just, like, the change in demeanor that happens there is just... He's just sitting there, like, freaking out, and it's like, I didn't kill all your... They're like, hey, kill yourselves.
Yes, die.
Yeah, and they're okay. They're also happy to do it. I was like, yes, your highness. But yeah, mech designs. So, I'm just wondering if you guys noticed this, but... So, one of the main characters of Hirurugi Suzaku or something?
Kururugi Suzaku, I believe it is.
Yeah, Kururugi, the one with the very hard to pronounce surname.
Kururugi.
Yeah, just a lot of U's. But yeah, so, when he is first given his special mech, the Lancelot, and he goes to fight Lelouch and his mech, he uses the exact same move that he uses the first time they meet, when Lelouch fell into the back of, like, a terrorist truck or something, and then when he was in there, like, there was the big cancer that everyone thought was full of poisonous gas, and then Suzaku comes along and just, like, jumps in the air, spins around, like, three times and kicks him in the face, but he manages to block it with his arm, and then when they're in the mech, they do the exact same thing, and they don't recognize it. Hey, this is kind of familiar.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Speaking of Suzaku, let's talk about his stupid loyalty.
Yeah, that is retarded. Like, so Suzaku is the son of the of Japan's last prime minister, I think.
Yeah, let's go over every reason why he shouldn't be loyal to the Britannian army. One, yes. He's Japanese.
Yeah.
Like two, the Japanese have taken everything from him. Three, they fucking shot him.
The Britannians.
Yeah, the Britannians. What I meant.
Yeah. But he is just so fucking loyal, like... so at one point, the overlord of Area 11 is what they call Japan. He gets, like... So Lelouch shoots him in the face, and that gets blamed on Suzaku, and then Lelouch's Zero comes along and saves him. But then Suzaku is just like, you know what, I'm gonna go back, peace. And it's like, dude, why? They just tried to fucking kill you. They shot you in the fucking abdomen. They beat you mercilessly for something you may have done.
Well, that's probably more along the lines of brainwashing of some sort. You know, he grew up under the shadow of the Britannian Empire.
Yeah, well, he was also talking about, like, he said, you know, I want to change the Britannian Empire from the inside or something.
Yeah, stupid idea.
Oh, yeah, really stupid.
And also, he's a career soldier, so he automatically follows orders.
Yeah, it's just... when the Britannians invaded, he was, like, what, 10, I think? Like, something up there, he was, like, 10, and then when they actually get along into the actual show, it's 7 years later, and he's in high school, so that plays, I guess. But yeah, he was 10. He was old enough to, like, have that awareness of... These guys just invaded my country, killed thousands of people, and also killed my dad. I should probably hate these guys. You know what I mean? Lelouch is actually from there. He's actually he's actually one of the princes of that fucking empire, and he's still like, I'm gonna destroy the empire that I'm a part of.
Well, he's not anymore. They exiled him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but still, he was from it. His dad, his pappy is the grand poobah of it all.
And Suzaku knew Lelouch from a young age. He knows how much Lelouch hates the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So why fight for it? Bit of a spoiler thing here from later episodes. I gotta tell you about one of the worst parts for him is there's a point when the military's plan is literally to get him to basically pin Lelouch down and then blow them both the fuck up. And he's going to do it. He's going to sacrifice himself for this bullshit country that has taken over his. Lelouch has to literally use his Geass to save him, and inadvertently gives him superpowers by doing that.
Wait, so he gives Suzaku a Geass?
What?
Lelouch saving Suzaku's life, that he gave Suzaku superpowers.
He orders him to live, so then his body will react more automatically to prevent him from dying.
Seriously?
So he basically gets, you know, super reactions.
Okay, so yeah, that makes more sense. But like, what happens when he gets old? Like, if he has a heart attack, is he going to, like, defibrillate himself back into health?
Like, his arms just die themselves. Yeah,
like, when death comes for him, is he going to, like, have a fist fight with death? Like in Dante's
Inferno? That's never explored.
It should have been.
No, well, something happens at the end of the series that makes it pretty much moot.
He dies?
Oh, you're going to have to watch the rest of the series.
I won't. It's the file I got with it was 10 gigs, and I need that hard drive space.
So yeah, one thing I have been told about comparing Code Geass to Guilty Crown is that the characters are more likable in Guilty Crown, and I could not disagree more.
Yeah, that main character, whose name, I can't even remember what the fuck he's called, he's just such a whiny little bitch.
I know, like, Lelouch is a dick, but he's fucking entertaining.
Yeah, like, that's usually what happens, you know, he's the protagonist of the thing, and he is, you know, fit to be a protagonist.
And Code Geass also has Norio Wakamoto as a voice actor.
True.
So,
he wishes he was a bird. Fact.
He does.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh, we missed that reference.
Whoosh. What are you guys talking about?
We're talking about Norio Wakamoto, the greatest voice actor of all time.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
He did a thing for Azumanga-Daioh.
Yes. If you've ever watched Azumanga-Daioh, which everybody should, it's a great, funny little sketch comedy show.
Coming soon on the anime podcast.
Yeah!
I mean, we have a platform for it, and it's probably gonna be one of the only times we'll be actually watching it.
But basically, one of the characters is more or less completely imaginary. And he's always referred to as Chio's dad. Chio is a young girl who's really smart and has skipped grades to be in this classroom. And
is she the tiny
for some reason, he always takes the appearance of a cat. And he's voiced by Norio Wakamoto.
Is she the tiny one with, like, weird head things?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yep, that's Chio.
Okay.
But yes, it's one of the most hilarious scenes in anything. But
it is insane.
We are off derailing.
Yeah. So back to Code Geass.
I only really have one more thing to say about that, and that's fucking product placement.
Oh yeah, the Pizza Hut box.
It's I don't know how many times it shows up in the first five episodes, but it's fucking constant.
I remember seeing it once.
CC is like, later on it gets more and more. CC loves Pizza Hut. And so you're always seeing these fucking Pizza Hut boxes.
It's like the Hulk and Mountain Dew. Obviously they don't like my joke. I'm going to take every time Bobby coughs after everything I say as an offense.
Good luck with that.
Oh yeah, by the end of the show, I'll be hating you. Okay, so I guess... So there's one thing I want to say with Geass is... I really like Lelouch's... Like, his whole strategy of the planning part of it. Like, when he went to go save... Retarded Pants... What's his face? Saku? Azir, and he just plays that thing with orange, like that whole orange thing. I actually did kind of like that. So when Lelouch first kind of shows up as Zero, he comes along to rescue his friend Suzaku, who's being charged and taken to a place to go get executed for killing the Crown Prince or whatever. I think it was third in line or something. Crown Prince,
like that.
Yeah. Well. So like once he shows up, he just starts saying all this shit like, "Oh, I was the one who killed the prince. You know, you don't get to do this." And he says like, and then when he's talking to the main guy Jeremiah, he says, "Oh, I expect more from you, Orange or something," which is implying that he was involved in some shady business at some point. And then and he just kind of ducks off, but it turns out orange was just meaningless. It was just a thing that they said, and then everyone just buying it. It's like, oh, he just picked, like, everyone just started building these rumors, like, oh, he started, he's taking bribes with someone, oh, he's, like, working with the resistance, he's doing all this shit, and people actually, like, try to actively kill him because of something, this guy said. He was, hey, Orange, I'm gonna kill this motherfucker. And I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. Orange gets weird. Towards the end.
Yeah, and, like, the only real thing I've ever seen of Code Geass has been, like, AMVs and stuff. Like, there was one with, like, the, turret sounds from Portal, from Portal, and it was like Yuffie, who was introduced in, I think, episode 5 or 4 or something, where she's just like going around gunning down everyone that kills herself. And it was like, knowing what's going to happen to her and having her show up in the show, it was just kind of a bit weird for me.
Yeah,
but
oh well.
Yeah, oh well, fuck her.
Yeah. So,
moving on to mine. So, the show I picked was Hero Man. And this is the most American anime I've ever seen.
Is it because it's set in America, or...
It's because Stan Lee is in it.
Yes. I caught on to that.
Yeah, so, in Hero Man, there's a kid, his name, I think, is Joey?
Joey Jones.
It's Joey Jones. It's even more American. And so he's just a high school student. He is just kind of not that important or anything. He's being picked up by a bully as a friend named Sai, who has one of the most insane afros I've ever seen. Seriously, looks like he just pulled that afro out of Afro Samurai.
Well, it's more like a mop with Spike's hair than anything, in my opinion. But
yeah, probably. But
Spike is in Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
In case nobody got that reference.
Mm-hmm. He's like, well, he doesn't look anything like Billy Idol. Yeah, so after school there's a professor, his name I think is like Denton or something, and he sent a signal off into space saying, hey, aliens, come to Earth, we're friendly. And aliens got it and came to Earth. It turns out they're evil. And so it is up to Max and it's up to Joey and his recently brought to life toy robot to defend the Earth from bug alien things. Oh, by the way, Joey gets a toy robot that gets struck by alien lightning and turns into a giant robot.
So I gotta say, that's a bit of a fault with their hyperspace drive, that it produces a type of lightning that should it hit human technology, just might create something that can defeat them.
Yeah, that's kind of a glaring design flaw.
Well, it's an unforeseen consequence, I'm sure. It's not something they planned into it.
Yeah, true.
Let's make this energy storm that comes up when we show up at a place advanced technology by leaps and bounds on the place where it strikes.
Yeah, it is so weird. But so, yeah, the rest of the show is just Joey and Hero Man, along with Sai and the professor trying to save the world from the alien invaders. With the help of a giant robot that has lightning.
I also have to point out, question, how different it would have been if some different piece of technology had been struck? Like, we could have a giant alien fighting iPod?
I don't know, maybe. Like, maybe it's like the Japan thing of, you know, his love for this toy was so strong that the lightning just gave it form and used the love to turn it into a thing. You know, like, unless someone, like, was desperately in love with their iPhone and was, like their iPod and was like, oh, you know, it's broke, I'm gonna fix it myself. But, yeah, another thing, like, when Hero Man is actually turned into Hero Man, like, at the beginning when he's just a toy robot, he, you know, looks like a toy robot, then as soon as he gets struck by lightning, he, like, turns into America the Robot.
Yeah.
It's like blue on red on white, like, stars and stripes all over him. It is abrasively American.
Yep. And that's what the world basically thinks of Americans.
Yeah.
What they do.
Yeah, it's like, all right, so we made this giant planet-saving robot, let's brand it America.
Pretty much. Yeah, and of course, Stanley had to stick himself in it, as he does with everything he does.
Yeah, good lord, like, I remember when I was reading, like, another thing they worked on, Katakuri Doji, I think it was called, I did not see him once in there.
Oh, I'm sure he was. He's always there.
Yeah, you just got nowhere to look at him.
Look for him.
Look for him. Yeah. When I said it sounded weird.
Yeah.
It's like, gotta make sure you look at his feet, otherwise you won't know it's him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he had his first episode cameo and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But yeah. The one thing that really irked me about the show in this short time frame that we saw, is it ever explained why the bully doesn't want Joey near his sister?
Because I'm pretty sure the bully and his sister are like rich, and Joey is just like a commoner. So there might be some weird class warfare thing going on, or it could be just because like he's the protagonist and that guy's a bully.
Yeah, but they normally have something more plausible than that. I mean, normally it's, you know, the bully has his eyes on this girl.
Yeah, but this girl's a sister.
Yeah, but in this case it's a sister, so that's not it.
But hey, this
it's not jealousy.
I mean, hey, this is Japan, so for all we know.
No, it's America.
Yeah, but it's American. It's Japanese America.
That's the thing. Maybe they think that rich guys are overly protective of their sisters in America.
It just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And also, why doesn't she just go fuck off?
Why doesn't she just fuck off?
Seriously. Stop bothering my friends.
I don't know. Like, it's been a while since I've actually watched the show in its entirety. But those two like do start developing a relationship, and it is at least somewhat more gratifying when the show ends to say like, "Hey, they're budding a relationship," instead of just "Oh, it ends with another day."
Yeah. You know,
there's at least some kind of emotional closure.
Well, the one thing I noticed is that she like straight up asks him out, and he's all like, "I don't know." It's like, what American high schooler would be like that?
Yeah. Me. I'm Canadian, so I guess that doesn't count.
Yeah.
You're seriously saying if an attractive school and an attractive girl in high school walked up and asked you out,
I'd be like, I think you have the wrong person.
No, I don't, silly. I've been watching you from afar for weeks.
Okay. How have you been watching me from afar?
I have cameras all over your house.
Ah. I see.
Okay,
just so you know, that thing with the two girls, the chicken and the baby, that was entirely legal.
So, this subject matter got really weird really fast.
Oh, Christ, Bobby. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm dying.
Oh, I think if you could die when we're not recording.
Yeah, save dying for later.
Yeah. Dying to people who aren't on podcasts. But yeah, so Hero Man. Yeah, I don't think it's ever actually explained like why the bully hates him so much. But spoiler alert, the bully eventually does eventually become a soldier for the enemy. They like kidnap him and then do a bunch of weird science to him and turn him into a giant bug. Him and his fat little compadre.
Yeah, that's revealed at the end of episode 5.
Yeah, well, fuck. Yeah. I remember, like, when I first watched the show, I didn't really like it.
I have some issues with it, too. Like, I swear the controller that Joey has is just that they can throw in an animation sequence where he shouts, which annoys me, because he has a girl's voice. Yeah. Girl's hair.
Yeah.
He's tiny. He looks like a fucking girl. He sounds like a fucking girl. Every time they do that sequence, it reminds me of how much he seems like a fucking girl, and I'm sick of it.
Yeah, well, later. Yeah, well, later it gives the ability to generate force fields and move at super speed.
Okay, well, that's something. But mostly, it's like he pushes a button that shows up based on what Hero Man thinks he should do.
Yeah.
So why is the button even there?
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, Hero Man, for the most part, is, like, mostly self-sufficient. Like, Joey can kind of yell at him, but then it's just, like, the button is, like, turn into Hero Man, and then punch. those are the only buttons I remember seeing, and then there was another one like Super Punch or something. Yeah, it was just that entire thing did just seem to be put in there to reinforce the idea that this is anime. But yeah, I did like the show, and as it goes on, it does get a bit more bizarre, with like the U.S. government trying to take Hero Man from him, because you know that always works out well.
Yep. We've already proven that won't work. Only he can use Hero Man.
Well, we're the United States government. We don't believe in proof.
Fuck logic.
It's like, fuck your science. This guy's an evil mustache. We'll go with him. Because they actually do just hire a guy with an evil mustache to try to get Hero Man to use him, like, weaponize him and mass produce him. Which is kind of weird, they're trying to weaponize a weapon.
Well, mass producing it wouldn't be such a bad idea. I mean, one of them's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, I get every
army of them would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, but then after the like the after all the aliens are gone and the U.S. government just has an army of giant robots to do their bidding.
And oh, then the world is fucked. But
then they just take over the world. The
goddamn aliens!
It's like aliens are gone. Fuck the Americans invading. What do we do, nurse?
Well, they do all right until they try to get into Canada.
Give them some of our beer, they'll pass out right away.
Yeah, they're just like...
No, we just disappear into the forest.
Yeah, but then they, like, lightning the forest.
So what? We've been through worse.
Yeah, just everyone grabs a 2-4 and runs into the woods.
Yeah, and then through a series of guerrilla strikes, we force them out of our country. Yeah,
then we essentially just turn to the Picts from, like, back in the olden days when it was... When, like, that part of Scotland was just... When Scotland was just death waiting for everyone. I think that's what they were called back then. Yeah, like, I remember a story of, a British troop went into Scotland to try to get there, like, find people, and they just all got wiped out in, like, a matter of days. And so that's essentially what would happen here, just... Through the combined use of hockey pucks, beer, and through the combined use of hockey pucks, beer, and Tim Hortons, we'd find a way to defeat the American army and their robots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. So, Hero Man. Anything else we got to say about Hero Man?
Lena's a bitch. As in, you know, a bitch as it would be applied to a male person.
Yeah.
As in, you know, kind of a coward.
She's a dumbass in distress.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she is just... all the time. It wouldn't be surprised if she'd be... With the way she was, like, constantly getting into trouble, it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if she eventually turned... I wouldn't be surprised if she had just ended up as a woman in a refrigerator. For those of you who get that comic book reference... So yeah, Hero Man.
Womp.
I always did all my good jokes yesterday. But yeah, so I guess we're done with Hero Man. Moving on. Pudge, your series.
Alrighty. So, as if you've been following the podcast, which I highly doubt.
Yeah. I can barely follow it.
I chose Black Lagoon.
Woo!
As the show for us to watch this week, and basically...
Rock's my boy.
Rokuro Okajima is a standard, depressed salaryman from Japan.
Because aren't they all?
And so he sort of gets sent to deliver a data disk to a customer in... Well, the South China Sea. And, well, the ship he's on gets boarded by pirates.
And we're not talking, like, olden pirates. We're talking just, like, modern-day pirates. Just dudes with guns.
Mm-hmm. But yes, and they take the disc, and they grab Rokuro to be a hostage.
Natch.
And giggles, basically. So, basically, he gets a couple things happen. He sort of gets dragged along in their events, and then this group of pirates that kidnapped him get attacked and get the disc back and so on and so forth, and he ends up helping the pirates escape with the disc and finish their mission, and he basically gets abandoned by his company.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always fun. And long story short,
don't they hold a funeral for him?
Well, yeah, they basically give him up as dead, and they mention a funeral.
Mm.
But and essentially, long story short, he joins Lagoon Company,
mm-hmm.
which is
the pirates,
the company of pirates that bought him, that kidnapped him, and starts going by the name Rock.
Yeah, which is the name that Dutch gave him, because he gives everyone stupid nicknames.
But basically, it consists now the Lagoon Delivery Company, because they're couriers, they're not actually pirates.
Yeah.
Just their goods are occasionally illegal. They consist of Dutch, who is a large African-American Vietnam War veteran.
Who's the captain of the ship.
And Revy, who's she's a Chinese thug, basically. She's a bit kind of sociopathic.
She's fucking insane.
Yeah.
And maybe you can explain this to me, but why is it that she's called Two Hands because she's good with guns? Like, everyone has two hands.
She uses both her... She fires guns akimbo. That is a very rare and actually pretty inefficient style of shooting. Okay, she often shoots guns double-handed.
Yeah, her sword cutlasses.
Yes.
Which I thought that was a neat touch. Like, she's a pirate and she uses cutlasses.
Ha ha ha. And the last member is Benny, who's basically, well, their tech expert.
Yeah. He's also Jewish. He's
American. Yeah. But yeah, that consists, and it follows them on their various jobs that they do.
Yeah. So I had read some of the, Black Lagoon manga before doing this. And yeah, I just remember, like, the beginning is not that interesting compared to what happens later, like, with the chick who, like, bites a chainsaw in half. Because that happens. which was one of my favorite parts of that entire show. Just sitting there, like, oh, what you gonna do with that chainsaw? Oh, fuck. But yeah, I want to talk about the beginning thing where the first episode they're being hunted down by that guy, and they're trying to be killed because of Rock and the data disc, and then Rock comes up with that plan, and that plan is just fucking awesome.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, so on the boat, the Black Lagoon boat, they have a bunch of torpedo tubes, because Dutch thought they'd be awesome.
Well, it's a torpedo boat.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so...
So, makes sense.
Hmm. Yeah, so then what they decide to do is... So then, like, the guy they're fighting is in, like, an attack helicopter with, like, heat-seeking missiles. So what they do is they head straight at him, the fire of the heat-seekers. They shoot off a signal flare to, like, draw away the heat-seekers. And they ramp off a sunken boat, jump through the air, and then fire their torpedoes at a helicopter. And hit the guy right in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're doing it, Rock is just in there, flipping them off, saying, fuck you.
Yeah.
And that is just awesome. I really like that. It's like that scene in Live Free or Die Hard where John McClane takes out a helicopter with a car.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is so fucking insane and retarded and awesome. And then they eventually get, like in the last episode, they go after the Nazi painting. Because, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't... I can't quite remember if that arc actually ended on the fifth episode, because they actually, they have, it's set up in a series of serials, which are sort of couple episode blocks.
Yeah, little story arcs.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like the Nazi one, at episode five, it ended when so there was a Nazi painting that they were hired to go get. It's in a sunken submarine. God, that was hard to say. I don't know why it was so hard to say. I kept trying to put an H in there. But yeah, so they went to a sunken submarine to try to get a Nazi painting back, which is like the angel Brunhilde, like, rallying troops or something, and it said like anyone who's holding that painting would be like victorious in battle or something. So the Nazis new Nazi party wanted to use it to start like the Aryan race up again. So mm-hmm. yeah. So they went down there and the Nazis ended up getting the painting and they escaped, and then the Dutch was like, this job isn't over, and I'm guessing that they go after him to get the painting back. And Revy kills everyone.
That is pretty much how it goes, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, Revy is a fucking psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's this thing that happens a lot with, like, the artistic style of Revy's face. Like, most of the time she looks like a person. But then it gets to the point where, like, her eyes just go dead and, like, the shadows go over her face and her face animation, like, changes just slightly to be a little bit more sinister. And she starts, like, talking like a psychopath. And like
more often she just doesn't talk at all.
Yeah, and like when she was first episode, Dutch is like, show them why they call you two hands. She like jumps out, she's just like murdering everyone. She's like has this huge grin on her face, and her eyes are like really, really down and like really closed a bit, so she looks fucking psychotic while she's just gunning down everyone.
Well, yeah, that's who she is.
Oh yeah, and I love her. I love that about her. She is. God, she's awesome.
But, ooh, one thing I wanted to see if you guys noticed. I'm not sure how much it shows up in the first five episodes, how many hints they dropped there, but I know if you watch the rest of it, you start seeing little hints of it, but there is a prevailing fan theory that Rock and Revy are sleeping together.
There wasn't much of that being I always knew there's something going on with those two. It was either already going on or was leading into going on because like that whole cigarette bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's entirely possible. You know, like she seems to like be unable to kill him or something. Like remember that first. Yeah. Like, remember that first bit in the first episode where she was like, why don't we just kill him and, like, unloads her entire clip at him and he, like, not a single bullet hits him?
Mm-hmm.
And that also has kind of led to him being called, like, the most dangerous man in Ranapur. Because people start calling him that, you know. It's, hey, this unopposing man in a business suit. He is, in, like, a collared shirt and tie, he is the most dangerous person in this entire city. Which is full of insanely dangerous people, like the aforementioned chainsaw-eating person.
Yep.
Yeah, Rock is just, hey, I'm insanely lucky.
Not really. He's got a fairly sizable pair of balls on him.
Oh, yeah. Like when, what I talked about before, this cigarette bit, which is not in the first five episodes, but it is one of my favorite parts in the series. Just that one little moment where Revy and Rock are in a cafe, she, like, has the gun right in his face. He's just like, ain't around, come on, shoot me. And they just managed to get it out of the way in time, and then they... Yeah, I love that scene.
Yeah. And I'm really of the opinion that they're involved as early as, like, the second episode. In between the first and second episodes there.
Yeah,
or rather, the first and second arcs, I should say.
It's entirely possible.
Because, well, almost in the third episode then, because the first little arc takes two episodes, is she's really ragging on him about not wearing his Hawaiian shirt that she bought him.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
So, that's kind of the running gag of that arc. They bring it up a few times.
Hmm. So.
But it's just an interesting thing. They never actually do anything on screen, mm-hmm. besides there are a couple small interactions, like what Deadman said, or...
Yes. Yeah, and, like, in the manga, it gets to the point where she's, like... There was that bit with, like the Yakuza people who were, like... As that girl was, like, committing suicide in front of him, and he was, like, trying to help her or something, and she's, like, rocking away, I don't want to... He's trying to keep him from seeing all this horrible, violent shit, even though... He spends every single day with her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that stuff. And, like I said, it's entirely possible they're sleeping together already. And it would be interesting if they actually were sleeping together and they actually showed some of their, like, weird, couple interaction shit without showing the sex, because, yeah, I'm not a pervert.
But, yeah, basically... They really don't even physically interact much, other than Ribby throwing him across the room occasionally.
Yeah, you know, Natch.
But yeah, I'm sure it's not in the first 5 episodes. I don't think it was, but when you get to the Roberta arc.
Ah, Roberta.
That's a party.
She is.
Yeah, easily some of the greatest characters that are seen in anything. Yeah. Like, there's this one arc which is basically the plot line of Smoking Aces.
Yeah.
Where it's like just a bunch of
assassins.
Yeah.
Like, there was the one with, like, the voice box and the chainsaws, the ones that she bit in half, and there's that Chinese girl who's, like, throwing the knives everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. No Tremor Brothers, though, so considerably lacking in that category.
But yes, and another thing worth noting, despite what Bovewan may tell you, it has an excellent dub.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Yeah, I watched some of it, like, I'm more prone to the subs, just because...
Well, yeah, like, that is sort of the quote-unquote natural way to watch it, but... Mm. There is certainly nothing wrong with the dub if you're if you have an aversion to reading while you watch something.
Yeah, if all you have access to is the dubs, then it's not bad. But yeah, so anything else you guys want to say about Black Lagoon?
I'm done. Bovi hasn't commented at all.
Bovi?
Confession, it hasn't even finished downloading.
Oh, I didn't watch. Asshole.
Well, that's why I stream things. There's a lot more stuff you can find streaming.
I thought Funimation might have it for streaming, but they don't on their site. I don't know anywhere else that might have the streaming. Yeah, I tried to find the downloads myself, then I asked Deadman way too late, and it didn't download in time. It'll be done in about half an hour.
Yeah, you asked me yesterday, I think.
No, I think I asked you today.
Oh, yeah, you did ask me today. I was like, today, hey, you know where I can find this thing? It's like, what, you don't have it already? But I didn't actually say that. I just sent him a link and said, hey, Hero Man's on Crunchyroll.
Hence why I've watched Hero Man.
Yeah. But of course, you're just talking about completely and totally legal ways of streaming.
Oh, yes. Like Crunchyroll.
Yes. Which is what we all do.
Yes. By downloading, he means... getting the season through an entirely legal method so that he doesn't have to wait for buffering times. Don't you, Bovi?
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. Okay, so, I guess I'm going to do it for this week since Bovi has not watched Black Lagoon at all.
So, but he will.
Yes, he will. Eventually. We guarantee it. So, yeah, so I guess series for next week. What are you guys thinking?
Well.
The one I've got, it's got short run time, so it's not going to be a long watch at all. Mm-hmm. Italia Axis Powers.
Ah, yes.
God.
That one. The one that I have been interested in watching, but have never been asked to watch.
Yes, and you can stream this one legally on YouTube through Funimation.
Yeah. So, Pudge...
Let's see. I think Let's go with the most redundant name ever for a show, The Legend of the Legendary Heroes.
Okay. So, there's that. And I talked about it a lot on the I've talked about it a lot in the previous incarnation of the show, but Cage of Eden. This is not an anime yet, so we'll be just reading the first, I think it was 20 chapters?
There's a set, well, I don't think we really even set a amount of chapters, but we will read some chapters.
We said it was, like, subjective. Read until you figure you've covered a decent arc.
Yeah. For you guys, I'd recommend reading until Hades shows up. Like, we'll read a minimum until Hades shows up.
The island?
Like, you know, like they got the island, and then like, there's some stuff that goes on there, and Hades shows up at one point. The guy called himself Hades.
Oh, you said Hades. I thought you said Haiti.
No.
It was a joke, me saying the island.
Oh.
Yeah, like, haha, small island nation.
Yeah, I said Hades.
Nah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so those are our shows for next week, so be sure to watch the first 5 episodes of Italia Axis Powers and Legend of the Legendary Heroes, and read a few chapters of Cage of Eden. Get yourself an idea for it. And we'll see you next time. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. Be sure to come back tomorrow. We'll be posting our commentary for the greatest movie of all time, Redline.
Oh, God, yes.
That was so insane. The commentary probably won't be that great, because it'll probably just be me laughing at everything, because it's so fucking insane.
But it's okay. The movie's fucking awesome, so you don't even need the commentary to be good.
The movie's fantastic. It is. It's Madhouse at its best. Anime at its best.
Yeah.
It is. God, just thinking about it. Those halcyon days of yesterday. Okay, so, yeah. Check that out. And also next week we'll be wrapping up Anime Month with Naruto Shippuden the Movie 1, as well as our regular run of podcasts. And, yeah. So, as always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at DeathDoorProds. I'm at Deadman_80Prods, and we have at Bovion. And while he did not appear in this episode, you can also follow him at Darth Brovy. We are on Facebook. You can like us on there. We are no longer on Google Plus because fuck Google Plus. And we're also on iTunes. Subscribe to us there. Leave us some reviews. Subscribe to our RSS. Leave us some comments in the comments below or in the forums. Please let us know how we're doing. We want your feedback. We want your suggestions for anime. You know, because eventually myself and Bovi are going to run out of stuff. Pudge, not so much, but
I can give you guys suggestions if you really need to.
Yeah, but what series do you guys want us to talk about? Like, you know, because that's what I was going for.
Yeah.
You know, fan interaction. Well, listener interaction. Well, yeah, listener interactions. I guess that's like disconnected as we can get with this. Because who knows if they're fans? They may hate us. They may be like currently stabbing voodoo dolls, like paper effigies of us.
I think technically, if you have over 100 likes on your Facebook page, you can say you have fans.
Yeah, I guess.
We must have some of them must be fans.
You never know. I mean, I've liked stuff on Facebook that I haven't even read. And just like, oh yeah, I think like.
Yeah, so someone in that group must be a fan.
Yeah, I have at least one.
Yeah, there's at least one.
Yeah, well, that person, you know who you are, thanks. Well, yeah, so all that shit's coming down. Like I said, we got $6 shirts. Bought, look at the bottom of the page to get some shirts. DeathDoorProds.com/store. We have our own shirts, and we are still looking for shirts. Send them to @Bovion@DeathDoorProds.com or post them in the forums. We got Indiegogo, help us raise money to make everything better and more awesomeness. And we got us Extra Life. DeathDoorProds.com says Extra Life. That's all one word. Donate some money, help save some kids' lives. So, until next time, I'm Dead.
I'm Bovion.
And I'm Padgetron.
See y'all next time.